Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
What up, what up?
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
We're together. We'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And Sex in the City, episode by episode. I'm beyond excited we're doing this. It's happening, friend. It's finally happening. So little do y'all know, we've been keeping Sex and City in our back pocket for like a little...
Oh my God, years.
For years. I was going to say hot minute, but like years. We've done watch-alongs on Patreon. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Rose Garden. We did a hate watch of...
Holy shit.
We did watch like one episode and talked about it.
Oh my God. Yes. I was forced into watching two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've talked offline for years about doing a rewatch of the show. And, you know, we've talked about what an episode by episode recap could look like. What could it sound like? And then it's announced that all six seasons of the show would be dropping on Netflix this month. And we knew now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
And alas, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Also very interesting, and also why I knew we just had to do this. Just like with The Bachelor, there are several Sex and the City rewatch podcasts already.
Yeah, this is wild. This I had no idea about.
This is a world. People are kind of always watching Sex and the City on the low-ski and like wanted to talk to somebody about it. So we're not the first, but... Just like with the Bachelor world, don't see any women of color in this space.
Yep.
Also, women who specifically have lived and dated and found love in New York City.
In New York.
That's us.
That would be us, y'all. You are hearing it from the people who lived it. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. To share our tales and our adventures and just kind of walk down memory lane ourselves with these four lovely ladies. So we are kind of high-key perfect for this. So, yeah, I'm very excited. Friend, tell us your relationship to the show, Sex and the City. Yeah. When do you start watching? When do you watch? Give us the whole spiel.
Yeah, I started watching entirely too young.
Okay.
Even I watched an episode before this, and even just hearing the theme song brought up feelings of doing something I shouldn't be doing at the time that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yes.
Just hearing that doo 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 doo. I remember turning the TV down like, no, don't let my parents hear, because I was 13 watching this show.
Oh my God.
Entirely too young. And I've always loved it.
Yes.
And I'll always watch a rerun.
Always.
But I first started watching it, I was like in seventh grade, eighth grade. I was really young.
And sneaking around. Yeah.
What about
That's
you?
So cute. I remember my mom watching it. So I grew up watching my mom watch the show.
Yeah.
Your mom too? Like Hard Body. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This was their show.
Yep.
They were like in their 40s, late 30s, right?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, a show with like sex in the title was just like, ooh, so adults. I just knew I wasn't. My parents weren't super strict with like what we could and could not watch. But
yeah,
I also just remember it being like my mom's thing. Like that was her show.
Oh, she didn't watch it with your dad. She didn't watch it like with Jessica.
My dad was watching like Arliss. Remember Arliss? There's like a lot. Sopranos.
No. Arliss was Sopranos, like, definitely. Yeah.
Sopranos for sure. Arliss was a show on HBO. I want to say around the same time as Sex and the City. Oh. And it was about he was like a sports agent or something. So
sure.
That was okay. Like his show. I remember my dad watching Arliss.
Yeah.
Like, I would hear that theme song, I think, of my dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I used to like catch glimpses of it when she was watching. I'd like peek over it. But I really binge watched it all six seasons. I think I was in college.
Oh,
I think
wow.
It was college when I first like for real watched it.
Okay.
And yeah, I remember just being obsessed instantly.
Yep.
Instantly was like, this is iconic. I love this. I remember just being so like envious of their little friend group. I just loved their dynamic, just like the four of them, these four friends, these four best friends. I remember like wishing and hoping my dating life would become even half as interesting as theirs were.
I remember that too, wishing that I would bump into as many hot guys on the street as they ran into on the street, because it was a little bizarre.
It was crazy the way that they were dating these hot ass, very eligible men.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? I hope this happens for me when I'm in my, you know, late 20s, 30s. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just remember New York City just thinking it was like the most fun, glamorous place ever. Like, I always suspected I would end up in New York because a lot of people, you know, we're from the Northeast, we're from Jersey.
A lot of people
end up here. And yeah, I think part of that allure, I'm sure deep down somewhere subconsciously, had to do with Sex and the City. Like kind of showing, being the first, one of the first to show me like this glamorous city where you're going to end up one day. And yeah, it's just like one of my favorite shows of all time. Remember when it was on E, syndicated on E?
All the time.
It was like ridiculousness. It'd be on all the time.
Yes. I'm pretty sure if you turn on E 3 o'clock in the morning Saturday, it's on.
It's on. Yeah. It's like Baby Boy on BET, Ridiculousness on MTV.
On MTV.
Sex and the City on E. Yeah. It's just never a wrong time, I feel like, to put on an episode. When in doubt, just throw it on. Why not? Yeah. It's like so comforting.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I feel like I told you the last like 2-3 months, I've just low key found myself late night just putting it on in the background. Just as I'm like online shopping or on Pinterest or something. And just comforting. It's just like the perfect comfort show. Puts me in a peaceful mood always. Really, it lets you turn your brain off in like a nice.
Oh my God.
Nostalgic.
But it's a drama.
So much
of what we use to turn our brain off now is reality.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is real. And even like as much as I adore Insecure with all of my heart and soul, I don't turn my brain off. My brain is
I'm locked in. Yeah.
Watching Insecure.
That's true. I'm more locked in than with Sex and the City. But yeah, I did think about that. I was like late night. I'm like, I could put on like Vanderpump or Summer House or like my usual, you know, reality guilty pleasure. But I found myself putting on Sex and the City. And it was something about, it just feels comforting. I don't know. It's not really a guilty pleasure. It just feels like warm and fuzzy in a way that like, as much as I love Selling Sunset, it doesn't feel warm and fuzzy, you know?
Oh, I do. Warm for you. No, it feels like a snuggie for me, Selling Sunset. Man, they can say whatever they want.
They can.
About filming conditions and whoever was doing what, I don't care. That is my, woo. But Sex and the City is similar to that, but a drama. So it feels a little better watching it.
Yeah. And it's old. It's like an older show. So kind of know what's coming already.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about how this show is so iconic.
Yeah.
It's just, that's when you think of Sex and the City, it's iconic. It is that show.
Right.
Yeah. What is it for you? What makes it so iconic?
To me, the fashion makes it, I mean, 1,000 out of 10. I think it was one of the first shows to treat women's styles and treat women's characters in a very delicate way using fashion. When all four of those ladies are sitting at lunch, they are all dressed for the same weather.
Yeah.
They are all dressed, like, you know what I mean? They're all in the exact scenario that they should be in.
Yeah.
And all of their hair, makeup, and wardrobe is exactly what those women would wear.
Yes.
And I think that's why people feel so connected to each character. I think that's why people can say, I'm a Carrie, I'm a Charlotte, I'm a this, I'm a that. Because all of those people, their aesthetics match their characters and their character development incredibly well.
Yeah.
Even the gradual Carrie's style gradually as she got more money. God, it just transformed and elevated. But it never, she never left who she was as the girl who mixes patterns, as the girl who loves Manolos. She never branched out to different brands. She never, she is the same brand loving.
She always looks like
Carrie. Miranda always looked like a lawyer. She never looked like a lawyer who, like, oh, where is she going? What kind of lawyer dresses like that? Never. She always looked like a regular ass
an attorney. Attorney partner in New York City.
And so for me, the fashion, and even when I was little watching this show, 13 watching this show, I remember researching Patricia Field really, really heavily and being obsessed with her. And she styled the movie as well. I believe the first movie. I don't know about the second one. But she is one of the most iconic stylists that we have.
Yeah. She's really one of the goats for sure.
Yeah.
Just like how, like tying character and fashion together. I don't really, I think of Sex and the City just like automatically. I think we've seen it for sure. You guys know we'd love Insecure. We definitely see it in Insecure as well.
Shout out to Shanae. I forget her name.
The stylist there.
The stylist. Woo! Man.
But yeah, Sex and the City did it first and just like did it so well. Just like really encapsulating each of their personalities within their clothing. And on that same front, I think the four women themselves, Carrie, Samantha, Charlotte, Miranda, just those four archetypes and the fact that we all as women identify closely with one of them, even the just that concept is so interesting. Like, I don't really know any other show that has done that for me. I don't know.
I think Girlfriends did.
Okay. Yeah.
Girlfriends definitely. Yeah. You could pick one.
They are very distinct. You're right. But I remember reading, I feel like I read this somewhere. I was trying to find it before this, but I couldn't find it. Candace Bushnell, who's the creator of Sex and the City, the column. She's a writer, obviously. Had a newspaper column, and then she turned it into a book, and then that became adapted into the show. I read somewhere that the four women represent, like, the four sides of femininity. And how we're all, we all kind of gravitate towards one of the women, but we're all kind of a combination of all four.
Or you shift in your life. You can shift.
So just that concept I love, and I think it's just so interesting and just kind of like a standard for a show. I also, in terms of what's iconic for me, is just seeing like promiscuous women. Samantha gave us permission to be slutty, to sleep around, to focus on the D, to get yours. Like, she really, just through her character and how she moved, it was just like, men do it, why can't we? Like, what? It wasn't even a question. She was just like, we're doing this, ladies. Like, what do you? You know what I mean? I feel like we learned so much through her. If anybody teaches us a lot in the show, I think it's Samantha.
Yeah, I think, I don't know this for a fact. I would love to look this up. Is she one of the first women, straight women, we've seen on television whose goal was never marriage?
Maybe. That within itself
she
is iconic.
Might be the only one.
She
might be the sole one. It's like her and Mally Tyler Moore. Like, are the only two who they weren't focused on marriage. I didn't want to get married. Like, just no
focus.
She
was very career focused and like fulfilling her needs. And that was really it. And I love that she just like gave us permission to do that. But then I love her like juxtaposition with Charlotte, who was like the literal complete opposite. And yeah, I just really appreciated that, like, what the show is called Sex and the City. Obviously, sex is very much at the center, but also just like dating, relationships, sisterhood in general. But on the theme of sex, the show really acknowledged how, you know, sex, if we can all agree that sex isn't just for procreation and pleasure is an accepted part of sex, then why can't women also indulge? What is the problem? And I just love what it said, like the statement on that point particular. And yeah, I just loved watching these women in their power. Samantha, first and foremost, but all of them to some degree. Like, Miranda really she was a high powered, you know, boss bitch attorney, and she really didn't settle. She was sometimes very stubborn.
She had the best one.
Yeah, she got Steve. Mm-hmm. She was very stubborn sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. just like everybody, we all get in our ways at times, but she also really was just very resolute and just like didn't want to settle. Mm-hmm. You know, as frustrating Carrie was to watch the whole damn show, mm-hmm. just even seeing her kind of like her evolution through Big and what she learned through him and finding her power.
Yeah.
Charlotte, you know, she was always chasing down being a wife. Oh, that was what God. She wanted.
It was. And she got it twice.
And she got it two times. Yeah. So mm-hmm. stay committed to the goal, ladies.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Anything else for you iconic about the show?
What's iconic about the show? I think when I was watching this episode, I was trying to figure out, and I'm sure we'll go on this journey together, mm-hmm. what about this character development makes these women so relatable, but you don't know anything about them.
Like their family life, their past.
Nothing.
They kind of just like appear on screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they also have no real holidays in this show either, which I find to be very interesting. There's
you were
no
telling
Christmas.
Me about that.
There's no
Christmas episode. Yeah.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing. There's no New Year's. There's maybe there's a Valentine's Day, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But otherwise, nope.
They kind
There's
of
just seasons.
Yeah.
Summer, fall, winter, spring.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of mm-hmm. exist in this little fantasy world that is supposed to be representative of like modern contemporary dating, but it uh-huh. is very much its own little bubble.
I think we are in the fantasy world where we don't care who these people's mother and father are.
Yeah,
we are just accepting them who they are.
Who they are.
If they're annoying, if they're mm-hmm. terrible, if they're the best, mm-hmm. we just accept for who they are. And we don't care about what happened to them that made them flawed.
Mm.
And I'm trying to figure out what that is. Like, how is the writing that good?
Yeah.
And that relatable right. so that we don't care
yeah.
about what happened to these people when they were kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting.
Right.
Yeah, we kind of suspend our belief, our disbelief.
Totally.
Like, completely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think New York is such an iconic character in the show as well that they had to develop the character of New York.
Yes.
Along with the character of these four in 28 minutes, as HBO loves to do.
Yeah.
Which is a tight turnaround time.
Tight, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think New York as a character, that for me is one of the most iconic pieces of the show.
Mm.
There is... to my knowledge, no show that makes New York look sexier than Sex and the City.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just love watching Carrie running across the street. I love mm-hmm. seeing them downtown, like sipping their Cosmos. Mm-hmm. I wrote about this actually very recently on my Substack, talking about dating in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Dating in New York is treachery, right? Dating in most major cities
is bad. Yeah.
treacherous. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in New York, we complain the most. So it's like, it's the worst here. Until it isn't, until you find somebody. But dating here and what you see on the show is low-key like you're in your own little rom-com.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a new adventure every date you go on. And there's mm-hmm. so, and it's because it's a city of such variety and possibilities. There is so many ways to date.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've met guys at the food festival. I've gone mm-hmm. to like a little coffee pastry shop. I've gone to comedy shows. I've, you know, made out with dudes on the Hudson River. I've gone for drinks on a rooftop overlooking the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
you were at my third date with Nate. We were in a private boutique in Soho at a New Year's party.
Like $5 billion suits.
Yeah.
All around us. Yeah.
Just the glamour and the glitz and like the fun and coolness of dating mm-hmm. in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The show definitely captures it. And that's one thing I'm excited for us to talk about. Just kind of like, as I said, walking down memory lane, just kind of recollecting our time running around the city. And
mm-hmm.
it is one of the greatest cities on earth. I always say that, but it is
one of the
sexiest shows mm-hmm. or the sexiest cities. And Sex and the City does a great job of like capturing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also mention just the wide variety of dating and relationship scenarios in this mm-hmm. show mm-hmm. are like endless.
Mm-hmm.
Just the variety of.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Different types of guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, over the course of, was it 94 episodes? Four women dating over 94 episodes. We meet every single person that you can meet out dating.
Unless they're black.
Unless they're black. That, not so much.
Not at all. Nope.
But in terms of like scenarios you can find yourself in, the guy with the micro penis, the guy who breaks up with you on a post-it note.
Post-it.
Ooh. The guy who, I was just watching this one the other day, Miranda, this guy who like gets off on his parents walking in on them having sex.
Yikes. So this is more like kinks you're talking.
Different kinks.
Yeah.
Well, kinks, sex kinks, but then also just like scenarios, like getting broken up on a post-it versus, you know, whatever. So yeah, that's going to be fun to kind of just like parse through all those like just terrible dating situations that is on this fictional show, but we all have faced some of these in our actual lives as well. Do you have any favorite lines or moments from the show? You're good at those.
Yes. I think a line that to me encapsulates the whole purpose of the show is when Charlotte is talking to the three of them about soulmates. And she says, what if the three of us are soulmates?
Aww.
And that's who we're really supposed to find is the three of us. We already found it. Mm. And the rest of these guys are going to be along for our ride as the four of us. That's really the point of the show. This show is, the heart of it is friendship.
It is friendship. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love so much. And I feel the same way about my little New York City family.
Mm-hmm.
We are soulmates.
Yeah.
So that's an iconic line. I do have a favorite episode. I don't know if we're going to go over the favorite episodes.
Yeah. Go for it.
My favorite episode is season 6, episode 12. And I recently found the music that goes along with that episode because the music in that episode is delicious.
Oh, is it?
Delicious. Oh my God. Huh. It is, hold on, let me see if I got it. I found it. Okay. So in this episode, they have two different songs, two different arrangements of the same song going at the same time. And they are supposed to represent different moments in different lives. So this is when Charlotte has a very unfortunate miscarriage. And this is when it's also Brady's birthday.
Okay.
There's a song called Pavane, P-A-V-A-N-E. That is an arrangement that a black woman did a jazz version of, and that was Brady's birthday party. So it was more uplifting, more happy. And then there is the original, which is the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra did Pavane Opera 50. And that is Charlotte's version, where she's sitting on the couch and she's watching Elizabeth Taylor and she's sad and upset. And it's the opera classical version of that arrangement.
Oh.
Yes, girl, I did a,
you did a deep dive into some music theory. Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
And just the juxtaposition of two of the same song arranged two different ways in 28 minutes?
Yeah.
That's some direction.
That's incredible. Yeah.
That is, ooh, so good, so good. And then there's another song when Carrie and Ballet Dancer are kissing in the street.
Yeah.
And it's another iconic arrangement. And I also love the fashion in that episode.
This is season 6, episode?
Season 6, episode 12.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, that's why it's my favorite episode. Because it feels like a movie. It feels like a movie. So long.
Self-contained.
Yeah. Just amazing. Love it so much.
Love it.
Yeah.
Nice. So that. Yeah. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. You just went off on a whole
I'm
moment.
Sorry. I went in. I hope my God.
I love that though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Two lines. I had to look this up because I don't remember. I'm not good at this. Just remembering lines. So I was like, what are some favorite lines? I love this, again, just encapsulates Samantha and what we said. Her focus has always been on herself, looking out for her. When her and Richard fall in love and she's like, it seems like she's maybe found her.
Oh, person. Richard.
Richard, I know.
The worst.
Yeah, he cheats on her. He sucks.
Yeah.
But when she says to him, I love you, Richard, but I love me more.
Oh, yes. I remember that day.
Yeah. Choose you. Mm-hmm. Choose yourself. Mm-hmm. As love is not everything. I love you, but this is not going to hold us together. I love myself more. Got to bounce.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. I also love... this is from Carrie. I think Carrie said this. I'm trying to look at. Yeah, this is from Carrie. This is, I think, maybe season two. One of the times she broke up with Big. So who knows when at some point. And she says, maybe some women aren't meant to be tamed.
Oh.
And I also love that.
She said that to him?
That I'm trying to make clear.
Because you know I'm trying to remember the moment, the outfit she wore.
Oh,
I'm good at this game.
Magic outfit. I don't think she says it to him. I think it's her in a voiceover.
Yeah.
Okay. After they break up or something. He does some shit. Yeah.
Okay.
But I love that. Maybe some women aren't meant to be tamed. We are, we're young, wild, and free. I think Charlotte kind of represents that woman who wants to be more domesticated in the house and kind of live that, traditional life. Mm-hmm. And I think Carrie and Samantha for me also just represent the freedom of being young or even in your 30s, whatever, and choosing to be single and having fun with your friends. And maybe I'm not meant to be tamed down by a man. I want to be out here wild and free. And I find somebody who matches my flow. And, can just fit into my life and doesn't dim my light in a way. Mm-hmm. So I love that. That just a reminder to just continue to be a badass bitch out here in the streets. Yeah. Okay, you brought it up before how white this motherfucking show is.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I love this show, but it's white as hell.
It is. It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. It's the biggest, most obvious flaw of the show. It's just.
Yeah.
The pure whiteness of it. There's no diversity, not even from Black people, from anybody. It's really, it's really freaking white.
Yeah.
And there's only two Black guys, of all the guys men. They date.
Yeah.
I think there's only two Black men.
Yep. And I can name them. I'm pretty, I know exactly who they are. Yep.
God. There's no Black friends.
None.
There's no diversity of any kind. And it's really sad because this is in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
How they did that, why they did that, very problematic, huge, huge flaw of the show. I am excited to watch something, though, from because the show's in its 25th anniversary, right?
Yeah.
It's from 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited to watch something that is very dated and just to see how badly it's aged. I think it's going to give us...
the episode I just watched.
Oh, God.
Girl. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my. There's gay panic all over the place.
Oh, yeah. There's gay people so bad as well.
So dirty.
Yeah. So stereotypical. Because they have gay characters. Yes. Mm-hmm. But just they lean heavy into the stereotypes. It is so cringe. Oh, my God. And we're talking in terms of Black and white, but Asian, Hispanic, there's nobody in the show.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah.
I will say, though, I have to not even give it credit. Just say how much other shows now will go backwards because Girls
is pretty fucking bad. Have,
Girls doesn't even have Black people in the background. Oh, Girls doesn't even have people, Black people walking down the street.
Yeah,
Girls has Black people. Sex and City has Black people in the as a host at a restaurant.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll staff see people. Black people, not even staff people. You'll see people as friends of the boyfriend. I just watched one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I just watched one with the politician. One of his right-hand men was a Black guy. You'll see Black people around interacting with New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Girls had no one of color anywhere. It was
really pretty bad.
It's really, really bad.
And then I remember when everyone was talking about it, like, what the fuck's going on, Lena Dunham? And then she brought in fucking Childish Gambino as her black Republican boyfriend. I was so done.
Like, that's when I was done. Season 2, episode 1, I said, I can no longer
pander to
this woman's imagination.
This is insane. This is horrible.
So bad.
So, so bad. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I will say, as white as the show is, mm-hmm. and how ridiculous it is that there's no black people anywhere. And the fact that there's no black friends of is crazy.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's, you know, it's not as bad as what, it's not even as bad as what we see on Real Housewives of New York. That one black girl took the whole show down.
Who's that?
Ebony K. Williams took that whole cast with her.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. And that's why I couldn't get with And Just Like That, which I'm sure at some point we'll have to sit and watch. But they just try to overcorrect in a way that I'm like, I was sitting fine knowing that this show was just white as shit. I was fine with it. I'm just going to enjoy it. It was okay. Mm-hmm. Now we're just trying to do too much by throwing in all these black characters, and it doesn't make sense.
And it just doesn't make sense that these women who've been friends for 100,000 years in their 50s have new black friends.
A new bestie. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Oh, God. But yeah, that should be a fun element of this rewatch, of just seeing how poorly the show will age. God, just the cringe we're going to get, I'm sure.
Yes.
But it'll be fun, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Has this show taught you anything? We're going to definitely explore this in our episodes, but anything that came off the dome for you, just like what this show at the forefront really taught you about dating, love, relationships, sisterhood, womanhood, anything that sticks out?
I think the line that Charlotte says, which is, we're all friends and we're the soulmates, everybody else is on board. Like, all these other guys are just coming in and out of our house, right? Mm-hmm. I think a line like that can teach you that you do have stability even when you're single. Mm. And you can really find stability in those friendships and some real solace, which is really nice. And then there's another line that Miranda says that is so spot on and so true, it should be like taught in health class.
Oh.
And that is when they're all in the bathroom and they're talking about dating a guy who wants to get married versus not. And she says, you have to date him when his light is on.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Yeah, the timing.
He's just like a cab. If the light is off, he's gone. He's not doing it. But if his light is on, he'll marry whoever gets in that cab, girl. Mm. You just got to get him when his light's on. That is still true.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. It's so true. Oh, my God. Yeah, they did preach a lot of just truths that we as women watching, we just also know to be true because we're either dealing with it, we've dealt with it, or we've just learned enough about men by this point that we're like, yeah, that's kind of how they roll. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Damn.
And real quick, I did want to ask you, and I think we should go over this, you know, as a family in the comments everywhere, right? Email us, whatever. What is your sun and moon sign for each of these characters? We went over this in San Francisco over dinner. Mm-hmm. I believe you're a Carrie sun.
Oh, wait. Okay. Sun is your core, right?
No. Sun is how you outwardly present.
Right. Okay. Outwardly present. Yes. Carrie. Okay.
Carrie. Yeah. Yes. And then your moon, that's your core.
Who I am inside. Oh, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
Probably Charlotte. Honestly.
Yeah. I think it's Charlotte. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little mix of Charlotte and Miranda. I've always really liked Miranda.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's very just like definitive, decisive. I think I have a bit of that in me. But Charlotte is, you know, innocent. I'm a late bloomer. Like that kind of.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm like, I'm just out here looking for a husband. Like, definitely. That is my inner core.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Shit. Your outward and your inner. Okay. Your sun and your moon.
Yeah. And forgive me, astrology girls, if I got that incorrect. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Okay.
My sun is definitely Samantha. I've always been Samantha. It's always been a thing. Mm-hmm. Forever Samantha. Mm-hmm. But my moon is absolutely Charlotte. Down.
Charlotte down.
Oh my God. Just putting on an apron and cooking and just making a nice little home.
A homemaker.
All the way.
I know. Charlotte got so much hate, but we all kind of low key just.
Well, not everybody.
Not everybody. At least the two of us.
A lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people. I think Charlotte gets a lot of hate. I don't know why, though.
Because she just seems so like. The other women are so badass, like looking out for themselves in a way, putting themselves first. And Charlotte always kind of was like looking for the man, and like the man was going to save her in some way.
Oh my God.
Put a lot of stock in that.
We have to talk deeply about this program because that's how I feel about Carrie.
Carrie, too. Put Carrie and Charlotte together. Yeah. But I would put Miranda and Samantha over here.
Yes, Miranda and Samantha have decentered men in a
decentered.
Way.
Decentered. That's a great way to put it.
Carrie and Charlotte have completely centered.
Centered them, yeah.
The so male they, gaze, yeah.
They definitely get the most hate, those two, I think. But I think low down, I mean, I literally identify with both of them. Carrie. Charlotte. At the end of the day, I'm like, I'm out here dating, yeah, whatever. But I'm trying to find a husband, bitch. Like, I'm trying to find my man. I'm trying to sit up at the house and do my little cooking, you know, shit. But yeah, it's like, you know, finding a nice little melting pot of the two. It would be nice, ideally. Nice. Yeah, I think, yeah, this show definitely a lot, as you said, a lot of truths kind of spit at us that we kind of just like reverberate in our mind even 25 years later. And I said earlier, I think Samantha, I learned a lot from Samantha, just seeing a woman so empowered, taking ownership of yourself, your dating life, your, you know, your future, how you want it to look. It doesn't have to be centered around a man. You can do you and get everything you want then, you know? Nice. So what to expect from these upcoming episodes, or is there more you want to discuss?
I think that was it.
Okay, cool.
That was it.
So we're super excited about these upcoming episode by episode recaps, guys. What you can expect from these episodes. We'll obviously recap the episode, you know, talk about the fashion, do what we love to do, of course. But really, recap aside, we're excited for the discussion. And I think the discussion is really going to be the core of the episode. In every episode of Sex and the City, Carrie is writing a column. She's a journalist. Every episode, she poses a question that she's exploring that week in her column. So every
not
episode,
her biting us,
right? In every episode of our recap, we will also be exploring Carrie's question, which I'm really excited about. I mean, they really span the gamut. I was kind of looking up a few before. There's one episode where the question is, in a city like New York with infinite possibilities, is monogamy too much to expect? Another question.
Before apps, they asked that question. That's wild.
Before apps, I know.
Man.
Wow. Another question is timing everything. Can't wait for that conversation. Another question, are there still certain things in a relationship one should never say? So she gives us a lot already just with her questions. So we're excited to like deep dive and kind of really dissect Carrie's question. And then just like we do in every episode, lessons learned, we'll wrap up exploring what the episode taught us, if anything, about modern dating, love, and relationships. So yeah, that's what's to come. Episodes start next week. We're super excited. We're excited. We're excited to just like be on the ride and to be diving into one of our favorite shows of all time and doing it with you guys.
And watch it with us. Still in 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's only 25 minutes. Low hanging fruit there. But yeah, we'll be back next week. Episode one. Rate, review, subscribe. Join the Rose Garden on Patreon if you want to watch. Watch us on video if you want to check out our juicy pre-show and all kinds of other fun stuff on Patreon. Find us on Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. And we'll see you guys next week.
Sure will. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.